You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidi al-rusul wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. Yesterday in our Ramadan Reflections, we discussed the importance of the fasting of the heart while the body is fasting. And we discussed yesterday briefly, and today I wanted to continue on from there, that in order for our fasting to be a source of taqwa, to be consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order for us to gain this beautiful characteristic, we have to learn to fast more than starving ourselves. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a very beautiful tradition, that how many people are there that fast and the only thing they gain from their fast is thirst. كَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صُيَامِهِ إِلَّا الظَّمَى. So how we go beyond that thirst in our fast is by having our entire body involved in the fast. And yesterday we talked about the importance of having the heart involved while fasting. And today, inshallah, I'd like to talk about how we can involve our tongue in our fast as well. The tongue is a very important part of the human body. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a very beautiful tradition that the power of the tongue is such that it can take a person to Jannah, or the power of the tongue is such that it could take a person to the fire of hell. Just one sincere La ilaha illallah from the bottom of the heart could be weightier than 99 sijillat. Sijillat are 99 volumes, large volumes of sins. Just one La ilaha illallah can have that much effect. And on the other hand, that very same tongue can be the source of a pious person who we may say is being pious of being to the fire of hell. How many people have we seen in our community that mashallah, when it comes to their ibadah, they're at the top level? You know, our elders, mashallah, regular on tahajjud salah, regular on reading Quran. The women in the house are always wearing their hijab. The brothers are always giving sadaqat, mashallah. But then these very same people have absolutely no control over their tongue. And this tongue ends up being the source of all of their good deeds being wiped away. And this is actually established from a very beautiful tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes the true loser, the one who comes in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment with mountains full of good deeds. And right when he thinks that he's going straight to Jannah, because of how many good things he's done, how many people have accepted Islam at his hands, and how many Qur'ans he's recited, and how many ulama he's made, and how many, you know, all the great things that he's thinking of. Now what happens is that he sees that he's walking to Jannah, and then one person comes and says, "Oh Allah, before this person goes to Jannah, I'd like for him to pay back the oppression he did on me." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to this person, "Pay him back." And he will take a little bit of his good deeds and give it to this person. And slowly, slowly, people will pile up and they'll pile up and they'll pile up. One person will say, "He lied." Another person will say, "He slandered." Another person will say, "He accused me." Another person will say, "He swore at me." One person will say, "He backbited me." Another person will say, "He was very jealous of me." And one by one, they'll come and take his good deeds and take his good deeds. And because this person who apparently was pious had no control over his tongue, very soon, imagine how sad this is. His good deeds are cutting down, cutting down, cutting down until they're zero. And now he's in trouble. But the line still continues. And they will continue to complain to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to these people that now he has no good deeds left. Leave your sins with him. And they will continue to leave their sins and pile their sins and pile their sins until finally, when everyone's done with this person, he will now have mountains full of sins. This teaches us how important it is for us to control our tongue and to control our interaction with people. How many families have been destroyed simply by the tongue? Parents can't speak to their children because the parents are abusive with their tongues. Children can't speak to their parents because the children are abusive with their tongues. Brothers and sisters can't speak to each other because they're so abusive with their tongues. Husband and wife can't speak to each other because they're so abusive with their tongues. Okay? They're so abusive with their tongues. Mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, they can't get along. Why? Because they're so abusive with their tongues. The mother-in-law may be, you know, the greatest pious lady in the world, but even our women today, and even our elderly men today, and even the young, everyone, I'm not singling out anyone here, But simple relationships are destroyed because we do not have control over our tongue. The Prophet ﷺ says in a very beautiful tradition, and I quoted this tradition yesterday, but I'd like to explain it a little more. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever believes in Allah in the hereafter should either speak good or remain silent. And the words of the hadith are, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. The word for remaining silent here is يَصْمُتْ أَصَّمْتُ. There are two common words we use for silence in Arabic. One is السُّكُوت and the other is الصَّمْت. There is a difference between both. الصَّمْت is to stay silent from speaking batil. الصَّمْت means to remain silent when it comes in regards to speaking vain. However, if you speak during the fact that you're speaking good, or if you're speaking in the middle of a good conversation, calling people towards Allah, technically that is a part of samt. You guys understand that? It falls under that definition of silence because you're speaking something good. When we use the word samt, we're saying don't speak bad. As-sukut means stay quiet. Whether it's good or bad what you're saying, just stay quiet. Don't say anything at all. Uskut, stay quiet. The Prophet ﷺ says, say something good or samt. Don't speak anything bad at all, right? That's where we learn the beautiful statement that's come from a long, you know, from traditions and traditions, that silence is golden. Gold. It's golden, right? Sometimes just staying silent is better. You know, there are traditions that the Sahaba used to train their kids to speak little by teaching them to place stones underneath their tongues. And that was to train them that you're not supposed to move the stone from here, so keep your tongue in control of that stone so you don't speak anything bad. You know, we should learn to speak little first of all. And then whatever we do speak, first think before we speak. In Urdu, there are two famous proverbs that go in regards to speaking, thinking before speaking. First they say, Pehle tol phir bol. You guys heard of that? First weigh what you're going to say and then say it. And then another one my father used to always say to me when I was young, he used to say, Aqal man soch kar bolta hai, bewakoof bol kar sochta hai. He used to say, a smart person, first he thinks and then he speaks. And the foolish person, he keeps babbling, blah, 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 he talks. And then after he speaks, then he thinks to himself, oh man, what did I just say? Look how much damage I just caused. Look how many people I hurt with my tongue. This is such a powerful tool right here. While we're fasting, we should remember to control our tongues as well. And the scholars mentioned that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we had ordained fasting on the previous nations, some of the nations before us that were ordained to fast, their method of fasting was silence. Not on our ummah, making it very clear, our fasting is not silence. But some scholars mentioned that the previous nations that were ordered to fast, their fasting was silence. So we should learn to remain silent at times as well. When I was a teacher in the madrasa, the maktab in England, I used to teach in England after I graduated. And at the end of my Quran class, I used to always save 10 minutes. And I would tell all the young kids, and I used to teach this 8, 9-year-old age, you know, the jungly age, right? 8, 9-year-old age. I used to teach all those, and there was like 20 of them in my class. And the last 10 minutes of class, we had a special exercise every day. And you know what that was? Shh. Everyone quiet. They're saying, Sheikh, what do we do now? I said, nothing. Don't think of anything. Don't do anything. Don't move anything. Just sit down. What's this? What are we doing? I'm training you to slow down a little. You know, someone asked Luqman al-Hakim, how did you gain your wisdom? He said, I closed my mouth, Allah opened my heart. I close my mouth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened my heart. When you learn to speak little, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْعَبْدَ يُزْهَدْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَقِلَّةَ مَنْتِقٍ فَاقْتَرِبُوا مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ يُلْقَى الْحِكْمَةِ. When you see a person that speaks little and has no interest in the world, go close to that person because that person will have wisdom. Now, what are the diseases of the tongue? That's a long discussion. I'm not even going to try today, okay? I'm just going to give you guys a reference. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh, in his Ahya ul-Umuddin, has compiled a chapter on afatul lisan, the evils of the tongue, and in there he has listed 20 evils of the tongue. I highly encourage everyone to go there and read it, or maybe ask Qari Noman to teach it to you at another time, inshallah. It's a very detailed discussion, very beautiful as well, at another time, inshallah. However, I will give you three things that you can do to control your tongue while you're fasting, at least. Just remember one thing. Actually, I'm going to narrate one hadith before we go to these three things. How important it is for us to control our tongue while we're fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you get into a heated discussion with someone while you're fasting, what do you do? You just say, I'm fasting. Whether you're right or wrong, it doesn't matter right now. Right? But the fact that you're getting heated, that anger is destroying your spirituality. And your tongue is going to steal from you all your good deeds. So just say, inni sa'im, I'm fasting today, I'm not going to get involved at all. So three things I want to suggest that inshallah, if we can act upon these three things, hopefully we will learn to control our tongues. The first thing, and I highlighted it earlier, but I just want to reiterate it as a part of the three formally, think before you speak. Before you say anything, think. Ask yourself, do I need to say it in this way? Do I need to say it at this time? Should I say it in front of these people? Should I say it in silence? Should I use these words? Should I use more words? Should I use less words? Think of all these things before you speak. Many of us, we just babble and we just keep talking. We just keep talking. And we don't realize that we're not causing any good. In reality, we're causing a lot of harm. You understand that? You know, everyone talks about the importance of calling people towards good and forbidding them from evil, right? That it's my responsibility as a Muslim. If I see something wrong, I should stand in the front stuff in front of the full congregation and say, this person did something wrong. You know, we like doing that, right? But we forget two things. The first thing, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said something very beautiful. He said, Al-mu'minu yasturu wa yansah, wal-fajiru yahtiku wa yafdah. He said, a believer, when he advises, he conceals and then he advises. Yasturu wa yansah. He conceals, he quietly goes to people and whispers in their ears. وَالْفَاجِرُ يَهْدِكُ وَيَفْضَى. And the transgressor, he announces a sin in front of everyone, and his intention isn't to advise, it's to disgrace. And the one who disgraces people in the world, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is, Allah will disgrace them on the Day of Judgment. And the second common thing we use, people bring up the narrations. But oh, didn't the people during the time of the Prophet ﷺ stand up and object to him or bring their concerns during the khutbah? Have you guys heard of that one? Yes, people bring that objection. That is an objection of a person who has no understanding of hadith at all. Why is that? The reason is because the scholars have gathered all those narrations where people stood in the middle of the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and made objections. And all those people were all Bedouins. And Bedouins were known for having lack of adab, lack of, etiquette. And that's because they hadn't spent time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me one narration where Abu Bakr stood up and spoke back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. It doesn't work like that. Okay? Learn to control your tongue. Think before you speak. The second thing, always remind yourself that everything you say, every word, every letter you say, you will be held accountable for it on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has angels that are writing down everything we do. Is that true or false? مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. And the last thing that I want to say is that if by chance your tongue slips or you say something bad, then repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make istighfar right away. Don't be arrogant. Accept it was a mistake, it's okay. I won't do it again, inshallah. Go back to the person you said it to, say sorry to them, make tawbah, give some sadaqat. You know how on the masjid we have this penalty thing here for the phones. If you say something bad, give yourself a little penalty. You cannot impose a monetary penalty on someone, but you can impose it on yourself. I cannot impose a monetary penalty on you, according to the Hanafi fiqh, that is, by the way. But you can impose one on yourself. So you can impose one on yourself and say, every time I do this, I will give some sadaqah, inshallah, al-Aziz. And this will help me stop swearing, this will help me stop backbiting. And inshallah, if we have reinforcements of whatever we say, we follow it up with something, as a repentance or sadaqah or something, inshallah, al-Aziz, we will learn to control what we say. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.